How do you do? Would you build a house without a plan? Well, probably not. Yet many people live their lives without a plan. The woman in this story discovered that her life, which seemed to have painful, unrelated events, actually had a master plan, one that was bigger than anything she could imagine, until her mind and heart and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news around the world, this is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. When a person who's been a lifelong alcoholic miraculously abandons alcohol, when someone who wanted to die is filled with a desire to live, and when those who had no hope begin rejoicing, that's good news. Unshackled has been celebrating stories like these for more than 40 years, the longest-running radio drama in the history of broadcasting. This celebration of life occurs daily at Pacific Garden Mission, where the homeless receive food, clothing, and shelter, even medical and dental care, and all without charge. Those who find new life can't wait to share the good news. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2308 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
If you want us to take the baby, you must sign these papers, Harry.
I don't know. It's so hard to know what's right.
Well, of course it's hard. Celia's death was a real blow, but she's not here to take care of the twins, and so you can't do it by yourself. You never know when you might have another seizure.
I know.
Give us the little girl, and we'll take care of her. You can see her whenever you want to.
But why do I have to sign the papers?
She has too many problems, Harry.
Oh, they were so small when they were born. A couple of pounds each.
She doesn't breathe right. She has a bad skin infection. She needs special care. You don't want her to die, do you?
No.
We'll give her the best medical care there is.
Well, let me think about it.
Well, if you don't sign these papers, we can't take her.
The year was 1932, the place, Boston. The woman in our story was that infant, whose mother died less than a year after giving birth. Her father, from a poor Polish immigrant family, was pressured into signing papers that he later learned were adoption rights. But we'll let her tell you how it all worked out for her good as we bring you Seal Rosen's true story right now on Unshackled.
The couple who adopted me were Orthodox Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe. They named me Celia after my dead mother, but they called me by my Jewish name, Shlimele. My father was deeply religious. Every morning he rose early and prayed in his prayer shawl. I used to watch as he fastened the little black box containing the name of God on his forehead and wound the leather thongs around his left arm and hand. He recited the Hebrew prayers so quickly I couldn't make out the words, but I was sure God understood. My parents were also great storytellers.
Someday, Shlimele, Moshiach is coming. He'll appear on a white horse. All the dead will come alive, and everyone will sit at a long table in heaven and eat Leviathan. Do you know what that is? A special sea creature God will prepare just for the occasion.
You're 6 years old now, Shlimele. Tomorrow you're going to start Hebrew school. You'll learn to read and write Hebrew.
I think she's old enough to hear another story. One about her family.
Yes, it's time to tell her the truth.
Shlimele, you were not born to us. You're adopted.
Your mother died when you were a baby.
You were sick and no one wanted you, so we took you in.
They introduced me to my birth father and family, but I saw them infrequently and briefly, which was fine with me. I didn't like having to think about two families. At home, we kept the kosher dietary laws, salting and soaking all meat, and we never ate pork or shellfish, and we use separate dishes for meat and dairy foods. My childhood was governed by one phrase, usually from my mother.
Metonich.
But Ma, why can't we eat at a Gentile's house?
Because we were chosen by God to observe his holy law. Gentiles eat pork and worship three gods and kneel before idols. Metonich.
I like that girl at school. Her name is Marianne.
She is not Jewish. Stick to your Jewish friends. Sooner or later, Gentiles will turn on you and call you names for being Jewish. Here, don't put butter on the table. We're having meat tonight.
Ma, can I be in the Christmas play at school?
Absolutely not. Don't talk about Christmas in our house and never say the name of their Gentile god. Dave, I'm lighting the candles. Put away those scissors, Schlemmerle. The Sabbath has begun.
We were not allowed to extinguish the Sabbath candles. They had to burn down by themselves. Sometimes, when I gazed at the flickering flames, I felt a mystical awe.
Schlemmerle, what are you staring at?
The candlelight. It's almost holy. Being Jewish was a total lifestyle. From sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, many things were forbidden to me. Yet some Orthodox families were more strict than we, while others were more lenient. I began to wonder if it really mattered. Were all those laws ordained by God or man-made? When I was 12, I began to rebel by eating forbidden food. I graduated with honors from 6 years of Hebrew school. But the next 2 years at Hebrew Teachers College were another story.
Hey, Seal, have you ever eaten non-kosher food?
Sure. I've eaten hot dogs, pizza, and fried clams.
And you didn't get a stomachache?
No. I wasn't struck by lightning either. Some of the laws are ridiculous.
Like, who cares how the tabernacle was constructed?
Can you believe it? It's meaningless to study that stuff.
We have cut so many classes, I may not pass the final exams.
I'd flunk too if I had to take them. But my family's moving to Denver.
Denver? Is there a Jewish community there?
Believe me, Ma wouldn't move there unless there was one.
Well, why are you moving to Denver?
My mother's health. She has bronchial asthma.
Bronchial asthma? What causes that?
I don't know, but she has an attack whenever my dad and I don't do what she wants. We lived on the west side of Denver, where I soon made friends with the Jewish students in the neighborhood. The following summer, I began dating a Jewish boy whose family was not as orthodox as mine. Sometimes his mother called him by his Jewish name, Moish, and other times she called him by his English name, Martin.
Do you want to go with us tomorrow? We're having a picnic in the mountains.
I'd love that. My family never does things like that.
It's pretty hard without a car.
I'm not sure we'd go if we had a car. Ma would probably find some law against it.
Your parents are more strict than mine.
You notice that, huh? All my life it's been metonic. All those laws.
Some of them are good.
But which ones? A long time ago, I figured if those laws were of God, we should keep all of them. If not, why keep any?
You're a little rebel, Seal.
I just want to be my own person.
I like the traditions. I'm proud to be a Jew.
I am too. I just think God expects a lot from us for the privilege of being His chosen people. I began to convince myself that God did not exist, which would simplify my life. Without God, I would be accountable to no one. It was about this time that I also decided to work hard on losing my Boston accent, because some of my friends teased me unmercifully about it. When I was 16, my parents sent me back east to break up my romance with Martin. Well, I used the freedom to proclaim my budding atheism, and I returned to Denver with my rebellion and my love for Martin both stronger than ever. Then winter came.
You're going to take part in the Christmas concert, then?
I have to, or get a failing grade.
What about your mother?
Well, I told Dad about the problem, and he agreed to help me. He's got a cover story for why I'll be gone all evening.
Yeah, he's a pretty nice guy.
I've even managed to smuggle a scarf and long skirt out of the house. Well, that's my costume for the program.
Seal, Does it bother you to sing those songs?
Oh, no. I skip over the name of Jesus. It's funny. But some of the songs sound like they were about us, Jews.
Like what?
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
Well, after all, he was Jewish.
Oh, well, none of it matters anyway. There is no God. The following year, I graduated from high school and took a secretarial job with a law firm. Martin and I saw each other every night until one night when he didn't show up and didn't call. The next day, he told me that he'd met a Gentile named Orville Freestone at the streetcar stop, and they'd talked until the wee hours of the morning. Later, I met this man and his wife.
Well, what do you think of the Freestones?
Well, I have a feeling they're very religious.
Oh, you're right. His dad's a preacher, and he's a Bible student.
Oh, I'd better watch my language around them.
He has some interesting beliefs about God.
Yeah, well, so did I once upon a time. It's safer to be an atheist.
Did you ever believe in God?
Well, when I was little, I used to pray in my own words in Yiddish. I'd ask God to do this or that. I figured he could do anything.
What made you change, Seal?
I don't know. After I learned the Hebrew prayers from the Jewish prayer book, and it was my duty to pray, I lost interest.
I'm glad you're not hung up on Orthodox rules and regulations.
Oh, no way.
You know something? I think we're just right for each other.
When Martin and I were married in August 1950, we had a traditional ceremony at an Orthodox synagogue. Twice, we changed apartments, looking for one we could afford that was tolerable. Both times, we lived in Gentile neighborhoods. Then, when we were expecting our first child, his parents bought a home, and we moved into their old apartment in the Jewish neighborhood only half a block from my parents. For the first time in a long time, I was content and happy with my life. But all that was about to change.
In a moment, Seal will tell us about those changes. Did you know that you have many friends across the country who are ready to help in time of need? Here's Dave Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission, to explain.
We're talking about our prayer band, a group of people scattered far and wide who have chosen to spend time on their knees on your behalf. Every prayer request that we receive goes to one of these prayer warriors who pleads your case with God. Remembering Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding."
So if you face an impossible situation, turn to the Lord with whom all things are possible, and let us support you in your prayers, right today.
Now some of you may want to be partners in prayer. If so, join our prayer band. God Himself will uphold you according to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, which says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." We'll send you petitions at intervals of once a month or every 2 weeks. Whichever you prefer, just let us know.
If you want to do both, request prayer for some need as well as join our prayer band, please write on separate pieces of paper so we can pass your petition along to one of our intercessors. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
An odd thing happened. As soon as I was free to be whoever and whatever I wanted to be, I realized that I did believe in God. I wasn't ready to embrace Orthodox Judaism, but I could begin by acknowledging God. I prayed, saying, "God, I'm sorry I said I didn't believe in you. Please forgive me. Thank you for my home and my husband and for this baby we are having. And please, let it be healthy." Oh, Moisha, what is this?
A gift for the new mom.
A record player.
And some records to lull the baby to sleep.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it.
Here, let me hook it up.
Wait till Ma sees this. She's coming over to take the baby for a walk in her carriage.
Every day she comes over?
Well, after all, Linda's the first grandchild in both our families. Oh, and it's a big help to me when she watches her.
Does your real family back east know about the baby?
Well, my twin brother Jay knows. He'll tell the others.
Hmm. So, which album do you want to hear first?
Among the music was an album of Christmas carols. Later, as I listened alone, the words of Little Town of Bethlehem struck me as never before. The hopes and fears. Why were we Jews so afraid of Jesus? Was he the everlasting light? I prayed. God, is there anything to what the Christians say about Jesus? Should I believe in him? I'm ready to do what you want, even if it means going back to Orthodox Judaism. I'm ready to light Sabbath candles and keep kosher and observe all the laws. Please show me if that's what you want, or if you want me to believe what the Christians believe about Jesus. Many months later, I secretly got a Bible and began reading the New Testament. The more I read, the more I was drawn to Jesus and what he said. I knew he was real. I loved him. But I was afraid. My parents, my friends, probably even my husband would be furious.
How was your day?
Fine. Ma took Linda for a few hours so I could relax and read.
Oh, good.
Guess what? I never knew the Lord's Prayer we recited in grade school came from the New Testament.
So?
Or the phrase, salt of the earth, was something Jesus said.
Since when are you interested in this stuff?
Oh, well, I was curious, so I'm reading the New Testament.
Read it if you want to, but don't tell anyone, especially not our parents.
Autumn came, and I desperately wanted to talk about Jesus with someone. But our Gentile friends had moved to New Mexico. Again, I prayed to God. Oh, God, please help me find someone to talk to about Jesus. The following February, our doorbell rang.
I'm Hannah Wago. Your friend Orville Freestone asked me to visit you.
Oh, my goodness. Come in, out of the cold. Please, sit down.
Oh, thank you. I brought this chain reference Bible and some pamphlets to help answer any questions you may have.
Oh, my. Will you excuse me for a minute? I slipped into the pantry to wipe away the tears that sprang to my eyes when I realized how God had answered my prayer. Then I went back and listened as Mrs. Wago taught me from the scriptures.
So you see from the chart that because of Adam's sin, we're all born without the Spirit of God. So we're all lost in sin. And you can see how God, speaking through the patriarchs and prophets, promised the Messiah. And we've seen that the second Psalm and Proverbs 30 both talk about God's Son. Now look at Isaiah chapter 53.
I didn't realize how much the Old Testament talked about the Messiah.
Especially Isaiah. Read verse 6.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It sure sounds like what happened to Jesus. I never saw this before in the Old Testament. As I trusted the Bible more and more for answers, I shared my growing faith with Martin. At first, he looked at the tracks she left, and then he became increasingly resistant. Finally, he said he didn't want Mrs. Wago to come to our house anymore, so we continued our study by telephone. One day, we were on the phone for hours.
You pray about that seal. God will give you an answer.
Okay, now, I have a question about atonement. Martin!
Who are you talking to?
It's Mrs. Wago. Oh, you ripped the phone right off the wall!
I've been trying to call you for hours.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Think about what you're doing. If our families find out, they'll disown us. We'll be ostracized in the community.
I might even lose my job at the store.
Martin, I asked God to show me what was true, and he did. I can't deny what he showed me. If I have to choose between you and God, I must choose God. I love you. Please, don't make me choose. Realizing how serious I was, my husband dropped the subject of my growing faith in Christ. Easter came. Mrs. Wago arranged a ride for me to go to my very first church service.
Your ride will come to get you at 10:30. Is it okay with your husband?
Well, he said I could go just this once. He said I shouldn't look like I'm dressed for church when I leave, or the neighbors will talk. So I'll carry my hat in a paper bag and put it on later in the car.
Seal, at the end of the service, the pastor will invite people to come forward and publicly confess Jesus as Savior. If the Holy Spirit calls you, don't be afraid to go to the altar.
God wasn't ashamed to die for me. I'm not ashamed to stand up for him. That Sunday, I went forward and committed my life to Christ. Many people in the congregation began praying for Martin. I didn't discuss Jesus with him, but I often stood by the kitchen sink, crying and praying for him. One day, I left a little booklet about heaven lying on the table. That night was a turning point.
Seal, I have something to tell you. Years ago, I heard from Orville Freestone and Everything You Believe, but I knew the cost was too high. I believe all this stuff that you believe. What do I do now?
Oh, you're supposed to tell God that you know you're a sinner and want the forgiveness Jesus provided by his atonement on the cross. Then you're supposed to go forward in church like I did and say you give your life to Jesus.
Okay. Let's pray.
We prayed together, and the next day, which was Pentecost Sunday, 1953, Martin went to church with me. He walked the same aisle I had and openly confessed Christ as his Savior. Then we began attending church together every week. When my family learned about our faith, they insisted we go with them to talk to a rabbi, which we did. When they saw that we could not be dissuaded from our faith, they disowned us. Martin's family would barely speak to us.
Hi, honey. Where's Linda?
Visiting your parents. Your brother came to get her.
They called today and invited us to stop by on Friday night.
You mean the ice is thawing a little?
It's been a year. We're not allowed to mention Jesus in their home, though.
Matornacht.
Maybe in time they'll forgive.
I found out today my parents moved to Israel.
They did?
I guess they wanted to get as far away from us as possible.
It's funny. The closer I draw to Jesus, the more I feel drawn to my Jewish roots. Seal, Dr. Gruen from Mrs. Wago's mission asked me if I would like to go to Bible school.
Oh, is that what you think God wants you to do? Well, where is it?
There's a school in New Jersey. Do you mind moving back east?
No. We can visit my real father and stepmother, unless they disown us too.
The Lord's calling me to be a missionary. I think he's calling me to be a witness to our own people, the Jews.
As soon as I knew we were moving back east, I wrote to my birth family. I explained that my adopted parents had disowned us because we were believers in Jesus, and that we would understand if they felt the same way. But they wrote immediately, saying they'd be delighted to see us. A couple months later, we visited them in Massachusetts with our little girl.
Hi, I'm Little Red Riding Hood, and I've come to see my grandma.
Come in, all of you. Harry, look who's here. Look at the Little Red Riding Hood outfit.
Seal, it's good to see you.
Oh, you too, Dad. This is my husband, Moish, and this is Linda. She's 3 years old now.
Take off your coat, sit down. Oh, we have a lot to talk about. I've been praying many years that we'd be reunited. I always knew God would hear my prayers. It's Bashert.
Bashert?
Predestined. When they took you away years ago, I didn't fight to get you back, even though I know they didn't tell me the truth. They didn't tell me I was signing adoption papers.
They told me no one wanted me. That's why they took me in.
Oh, I wanted you, dear, but you were very sick, and I was, too. I knew I couldn't give you the care you needed, so I decided it was Bashert, meant to be.
And now God has brought us back together.
Oh, I believe in God, too. I pray directly to him every day from the Siddur.
Well, that's good, Dad. I pray to him every day, too, from the heart. For many years, I prayed for my real family to be saved. In the summer of 1967, Dad and his wife came down to visit us. Moish, by then, was a missionary in New York City. One of our missionary friends had driven my parents down and had witnessed to them all the way. The next morning, Dad came into the kitchen.
I have something to tell you, Seal.
Later, Dad. I'm trying to cook breakfast.
I believe like you do now.
What?
Last night I woke up and I saw a light. I knew it was Jesus. I told him I knew he was the Messiah and he had died for my sins. I gave my life to him. But don't tell Mama. She'll say I'm senile.
Oh, Dad, that's wonderful. After a while, Dad let his secret out. Jesus is too good to keep to yourself. So it all worked out. God molded me through circumstance and environment into a person who would have the curiosity, the audacity, to go against the tide of Jewish tradition, to lead my husband to Christ. And my husband Moish has become a leader in Jewish evangelism.
Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 proclaim, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, if you have never known the joy of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, friendship with God, why are you waiting? Today is the day of your salvation. If you need help in this important decision, you may want to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. In Liberia, write to Box 10-0192, Monrovia 10. Be sure and tell your friends when and how to listen to these inspiring programs. And please thank the manager of this station for bringing them to you. And we'd like to hear from you too soon. A note, a card, saying thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2308. Heard in the true story of Seal Rosen were Mickey Hurd, Mercedes DeMonk, Trish Elliott, David Mink, Tony Marcus, and Russ Reed. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you.